Welcome to the OCR GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important and frequently examined topics on the specification, sources of wisdom and authority, or SOA, as examiners like to call them. Whether you're revising for your Component 1 Christianity paper or your thematic studies, understanding where religious authority comes from and how different Christians use it differently is absolutely essential for hitting those top marks. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Section 1, Core Concepts. Let's start with the big question. What exactly is a source of authority? In religious studies, a source of authority is anything that a religious believer turns to in order to guide their beliefs, their moral decisions, and their practices. Think of it as the answer to the question, why do you believe what you believe and why do you act the way you act? For Christians, the main sources of authority are the Bible, church tradition, the teachings of religious leaders, reason, and individual conscience. Now, here's the really important thing that examiners are looking for. Different Christian denominations give these sources different levels of weight. This is where so many candidates lose marks. They write Christians believe and treat all Christians as one group. Don't do that. The examiner wants you to distinguish between Catholics, Protestants, and other traditions. Let's start with the Bible. The Bible is the most universally recognized source of authority across all Christian denominations. It contains 66 books in the Protestant tradition, or 73 in the Catholic tradition, including the deuterocanonical books. It is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. The key quote you absolutely must memorize is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This single verse is the theological foundation for biblical authority. It tells us that scripture is divinely inspired. The Greek word is theopneustos, literally breathed out by God. But here's where it gets interesting and where you can really show the examiner your depth of understanding. Not all Christians interpret the Bible in the same way. This is called hermeneutics, the study of how texts are interpreted. There are two main approaches, literal interpretation and liberal interpretation. A literalist, sometimes called a fundamentalist, believes the Bible is the direct, inerrant word of God. Every word is true, accurate, and authoritative. This is common among evangelical Protestants and some Baptist denominations. For them, if the Bible says something, that settles the matter. End of discussion. A liberal interpreter, on the other hand, believes the Bible was inspired by God but written by human authors in specific historical and cultural contexts. This means some passages need to be understood metaphorically or in the light of modern knowledge. Many Anglican and Methodist Christians take this approach. They might say the creation story in Genesis is a theological poem about God's relationship with creation rather than a literal scientific account. Why does this matter for the exam? Because it directly affects ethical conclusions. A literalist reading of passages like 1 Corinthians 14 verse 34, women should remain silent in the churches, might lead to the conclusion that women should not be ordained as priests. A liberal reading would say this was a cultural instruction for first century Corinth, not a timeless command. You can see how the same source, interpreted differently, leads to completely different practices. Now let's talk about the Catholic magisterium. The word magisterium comes from the Latin for teacher. It refers to the official teaching authority of the Catholic Church, exercised by the Pope and the bishops in union with him. Catholics believe that the Holy Spirit guides the Church in its interpretation of scripture and tradition. This is why Catholics accept both the Bible and church tradition as equally authoritative sources. The Second Vatican Council, held between 1962 and 1965, confirmed this in its document Dei Verbum, the Word of God, stating that scripture and tradition together form one sacred deposit of the Word of God. This is fundamentally different from the Protestant principle of sola scriptura, a Latin phrase meaning scripture alone. This was one of the key ideas of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, championed by figures like Martin Luther and John Calvin. Luther famously argued that the Bible alone was the supreme authority, and that no pope or council could override it. His famous statement at the Diet of Worms in 1521, "Here I stand, I can do no other," was a declaration that his conscience was bound by scripture, not by church tradition. So when you're writing about authority in Christianity, use the some other many formula. Some Christians, particularly Catholics, accept the authority of the magisterium alongside scripture. Other Christians, particularly evangelical Protestants, hold to sola scriptura. Many Christians across denominations would agree that the Bible holds a central place, but disagree on how it should be interpreted. Let's now talk about conscience. Conscience is the inner moral sense that tells us right from wrong. Many Christians believe conscience is a God-given faculty, a direct channel to divine guidance. The Catholic theologian Thomas Aquinas described conscience as the voice of reason, reflecting the natural law implanted in us by God. Cardinal John Henry Newman in the 19th century famously said, "Conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ," meaning it is the primary way God speaks to the individual soul. However, conscience is not unlimited. The Catholic Church teaches that conscience must be properly formed, educated by scripture, tradition, and the magisterium. An uninformed conscience can lead you astray. This is why the Church insists on moral education and catechesis. For Quakers, the Religious Society of Friends, the inner light, which is their term for conscience and the direct experience of God, is the primary source of authority. Quakers have no ordained clergy, no set liturgy, and no creed. Their worship is based on silent waiting for the Spirit to move. This is a radical departure from both Catholic and mainstream Protestant approaches. Section 2, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Right, let's talk tactics. The OCR J625 specification splits marks equally between AO1, Knowledge and Understanding, and AO2, Analysis and Evaluation. That means half your marks come from knowing the content, and half come from evaluating it critically. You cannot just describe, you must argue. The most common mistake I see is candidates writing, "Christians believe the Bible is important," and leaving it there. That's a level 1 response. To get to level 3 or level 4, you need to say, "Some Christians, particularly those in the Catholic tradition, believe the Bible derives its authority partly from the church that compiled and canonized it." This implies that church tradition and the magisterium hold co-equal authority with scripture. Consequently, Catholics may follow papal encyclicals on ethical issues even when they appear to go beyond what the Bible explicitly states. See the difference? You've used the connective phrases, "this implies that," and "consequently." These are your golden phrases for accessing higher level descriptors. Another common mistake, circular reasoning. Don't write "the Bible is true because God wrote it and we know God wrote it because the Bible says so." The examiner will not award marks for this. Instead, analyze the theological basis. "Christians believe the Bible carries divine authority because of the doctrine of inspiration, the belief that the Holy Spirit guided the human authors. This is supported by 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. However, critics argue this is circular reasoning, as the claim of inspiration cannot be verified independently of the text itself. For the 15-mark discuss question, you must reach a justified conclusion. A capped response, one that presents both sides but never commits to a judgment, will not access the top-level descriptors. You don't have to personally agree with the conclusion, but you must argue for one. Use phrases like, "on balance, it seems that," or "the most compelling argument is," or "while both perspectives have merit, the weight of evidence suggests." Allocate exactly 20 minutes to the 15-mark question. That's roughly 5 minutes planning and 15 minutes writing. Use a brief plan. Jot down your two or three arguments against, and your conclusion before you start writing. Section 3, Quick Fire Recall Quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'll ask the question, give you 5 seconds to think, then give you the answer. Question 1, what does sola scriptura mean, and which tradition is it associated with? Answer, scripture alone. It is the Protestant principle associated with the Reformation, championed by Martin Luther and John Calvin. Question 2, what is the magisterium? Answer, the official teaching authority of the Catholic Church exercised by the Pope and bishops, guiding interpretation of scripture and tradition. Question 3, quote, the key verse about biblical authority from 2 Timothy. Answer, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Question 4, what is hermeneutics? Answer, the study of how texts are interpreted, specifically the principles used to understand and apply sacred scripture. Question 5, what did Cardinal Newman say about conscience? Answer, conscience is the aboriginal vicar of Christ, meaning it is the primary way God communicates with the individual soul. Question 6, what is the difference between a literal and a liberal interpretation of the Bible? Answer, a literalist takes the text at face value as the direct word of God. A liberal interpreter sees the Bible as divinely inspired but written in human, historical contexts, requiring contextual and metaphorical reading. Section 4, Summary and Sign-Off. Let's bring it all together. Sources of wisdom and authority is a topic that rewards precision and nuance. The examiner wants to see that you understand not just what Christians believe, but why they believe it, and how different traditions reach different conclusions from the same sources. Remember the three key distinctions. First, the Bible versus church tradition. Catholics accept both. Protestants prioritize scripture alone. Second, literal versus liberal hermeneutics. How you interpret the text determines the ethical and theological conclusions you reach. Third, the authority of the text versus the authority of the interpretation. Even if two Christians agree the Bible is authoritative, they may disagree fundamentally on what it means. Use your versatile quotes. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 for biblical authority. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, for the divine nature of Scripture. Matthew 16, verse 18. On this rock I will build my church, for Catholic claims about papal authority. And Cardinal Newman's quote on conscience for personal moral authority. Use the some other many formula in every extended answer. Chain your reasoning with connective phrases. Reach a justified conclusion in every discussed question. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, the examiner is on your side. They want to give you marks. Your job is to make it easy for them to do so. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.